Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Why would anyone want to be president? When the Iranian-Contra affair broke loose, the president related, "I've never seen the sharks circling like they are now with blood in the water." There are those who dislike the president for his stand against abortion, for support of prayers in public schools, and because he's against sanctions in South Africa, who would love to see him toppled from the presidency. Another question, why would anyone associated with the ministry want to be president? Walter Mondale was the son of a Methodist minister. Gary Hart was a former divinity student. And Jesse Jackson, a reverend. Concerning Pat Robertson, Tom Wicker of the New York Times News Service says in a copyrighted article, he has a following, lots of money, and the potential to take conservative and fundamentalist delegates away from both George Bush and Jack Kemp, who claims he's an original. Someone has well noted that issues such as school prayers, abortion, pornography, and homosexuality have become political considerations, as well as religious concerns. These would seem to involve men of the clergy with the need to express their convictions and seek a following. As David S. Broder of the Washington Post Writers Group stated in his copyrighted article, religious impulses help frame the Declaration of Independence, spur the Emancipation Movement and the Civil War, the Civil Rights Movement, and most recently, the Reagan Revolution. Pat Robertson declared in a speech he gave in Constitution Hall that if by September 17, 1987, 3 million registered voters have signed petitions telling me that they will pray, that they will work, that they will give toward my election, then I will run as a candidate for the nomination of the Republican Party for the office of President of the United States of America. Robertson also stated on that occasion his concerns for America, saying, "Instead of absolutes, our youth have been given situational ethics and the life-centered curriculum. Instead of clear knowledge of right and wrong, they've been told if it feels good, do it. Instead of self-restraint, they're often taught self-gratification and hedonism." While Robertson espouses noble ideals, there are some like Dr. Thomas Radke, a psychiatrist who heads the National Coalition on Television Violence, who accuses the Christian Broadcasting Network that Robertson founded as having more acts of violence than any other television channel in America. For example, when it comes to drinking, it was noted, CBN action shows portray an average of 5 instances of alcohol consumption per hour. Declared Radke, the fact that television's leading proponent of Christian ethics so seriously misunderstands the violence issue shows how desensitized we've become to violent entertainment. Ron Miller of Knight Ridder Newspapers defends Robertson in his CBN programming, saying, "The reruns which are shown are tame compared to today's violent shows on television." Then an article in The Evangelist raises some questions about Robertson's theology, especially since Pat doesn't believe in a rapture. In Dallas, Texas, Pat Robertson was quoted as saying, "What's coming next? I want you to think of a world with a school system where humanism isn't taught anymore, and people sincerely believe in the living God. A world in which there are no more abortions, juvenile delinquency is virtually unknown, the prisons are virtually empty. There's a dignity because people love the Lord Jesus Christ. No drug addiction. Pornographers no longer have any access to the public whatsoever. The people of God inherit the earth." You say that's a description of the millennium when Jesus comes back, says Robertson. But these things can take place now in this time. And he added, they are going to. Well, This is a wonderful goal, but we're afraid impossible to achieve, especially when the Bible predicts for the last days evil men shall wax worse and worse. Well, Pat Robertson says God has called him to usher in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, he says, provide worldwide television coverage of the second coming of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives. Again, here's where those who believe the Lord will come first to rapture the saints do not agree that we will be here to welcome our Savior and usher in the kingdom age. Rather, in Zechariah 14:4, it says, referring to our Lord's second coming, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." It's our belief that in order for our Lord to come with his saints to the Mount of Olives, he must first come for his saints. So we do await the coming of Jesus in the event we call the rapture. Now, let us say this. On this program, we deal with facts as well as personalities. In no way do we want our remarks to be interpreted as an attack on individuals, for we primarily deal with issues. We'd like to quote A.B. Simpson, founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance movement, who set for us an example that we should follow by never attacking a fellow believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Said Simpson, "I would rather play with the forked lightning or take in my hand live wires with their fiery current than speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ, or idly repeat slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others to the hurt of their own souls and their bodies." Well, the Bible says, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." Remember, our fight is with the devil, not with one another. Then in the second place, we sense our calling is to keep alive the message of our Lord's soon return. The Scriptures remind us, "There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Well, popular evangelism in the United States more usually reflects the views of such men as Billy Graham. Or you may turn on your TV and radio and hear Dr. Jerry Falwell, who is out to turn America around, turn America to Christ. Sociologist Jeffrey Hayden of the University of Virginia notes, "Powered by television evangelism, the Christian right is destined to become the major social movement in America during the late 20th century. It is estimated that TV preachers speak to 182 million people every week. Time magazine has stated, televangelists have altered the very nature of American Christianity. Indeed, this is true. If there is a resurgence of interest in religion, increased attendance in our churches, it is largely because of radio and television. For that reason, my friends, you should be supporting these men who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ on radio and television." The truth is, this program is not designed to make you laugh, to make you think seriously about the future, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the need of being ready for that event. We do believe Jesus is coming soon. He may come this year. And as John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness, urging men to flee the wrath to come, this is our message. Jesus said, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." The tragedy of tragedies, I believe, what the Bible teaches is that many who are looking for the coming of Jesus will not be ready for that event. Jesus, when asked concerning signs of his coming, replied, "Take heed that no man deceive you." As we would understand it, the greatest deception of all is to think we can sin and get away with it. Jesus lamented the fact, saying, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He went on to declare this amazing observation. "Many," he said, "many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? Notice what the Lord says. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, ye that sin. The idea you can sin, live in sin, compromise with evil, love the world, be ready for Christ's coming, is not taught in the Word of God. Now some preachers preach against abortion. They advise pregnant teenagers to give their babies up for adoption. Why not preach the message that would have prevented the pregnancy in the first place? Teenagers need Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. When it comes to drugs, it isn't only the clergy who is saying don't. It's commercial ads on television. It's not only the preachers saying don't. It's the President of the United States. Now, some would say to say don't is negative. We must be positive, we're told. I heard one preacher say if there were more negative preaching in the pulpit, there would be more positive living in the pew. Maybe we need more hellfire preaching today. I burned myself as a youngster, and my mother used that to tell me about the place where you will burn forever unless you invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Well, you can be sure I decided then and there I did not want to go to that place. I knelt by the bathtub in my home and there invited Christ into my heart, 5 years of age. I've often said you think of getting into a bathtub to get washed on the outside, but I knelt outside the bathtub and got washed on the inside. Now think of those who died in the hotel fire there in Puerto Rico, with people crying and praying to God to save them, others already badly burned. Then I think of what Jesus said of the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He warned us not to go to that place. I see pictures of communist revolutionaries in South Africa placing tires around the necks of those who will not join them in their revolution. I see them dying in the blazing fire. Then I think of those who will die in their sins unless reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Better to come to Christ, receive him while you have opportunity. As we read in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Then in the very next chapter we read, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Ah, friend, don't put off making this decision. Give your heart now to Jesus Christ. Then live for him, serve him with all your heart, and be ready whenever he will come. Pray this prayer, Lord Jesus, I come to you. You said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You shed your blood to blot out my sins so that times of refreshing would be mine. I do receive you as my Savior, my Lord, to serve you, live for you until you come again. Yes, pray that prayer or words to that effect and mean it. Be therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.